The intentional adulteration IA rule of FSMA has been in place since 2016, but FDA is taking a new look at food facilities this fall, moving from quick checks to comprehensive inspections to include food defense plan compliance and implementation. On today's episode of TAG Talks Food Safety, I, your host Lisa Lupo, I'm speaking with TAG Director of Food Safety and Lead IA Instructor, Christopher Stamps, to address some key industry questions about the expanded inspections and how to prepare for FDA arriving at your facility door. Welcome, Chris.
Lisa, thank you for inviting me. Happy to speak about this today.
It's great. It's always good to have you on. So, Chris, how will food facilities be affected by this change? And what's the difference between quick checks and comprehensive inspections?
That's a great question. Starting roughly this September, the FDA is going to enforcement of the food defense rule. Prior to this time, they've been doing what we call quick checks. And a quick check was simply when the agency was at your facility. It could have been for preventive control inspection, a GMP inspection, juice HACCP inspection. They spend about 15 minutes to 30 minutes just asking you some general questions about food defense rule. These were quick check questions. Have you been trained? Have you identified any key activity types or any actual process steps? Have you developed any mitigation strategies? Have you written a plan? And it was basically a yes, no, affirmative or not questionnaire. And the agency was using it to collect information. Starting this fall, that's changing. They are now going to be doing full enforcement. And what that means is when the agency comes, they're going to be doing both a food safety inspection as well as a food defense inspection. And the food safety inspection will handle whatever types of food that you are producing. And then they'll do the food defense inspection. And what they're going to be looking for is how adequately you've identified your significant vulnerabilities or an actual process step. And have you implemented the mitigation strategies? Are you monitoring them? Are you verifying them? And they're going to be looking for that kind of documentation. So it's going to be a long day for whenever that consumer safety officer comes out there. And when they arrive, they're actually going to present what we call two Form 482s. That's an official letter that says they have the authority to inspect your facility. You'll get one for whatever food safety type of food that you produce. It could be juice HACCP, infant formula, preventive control rule. And then you're going to get a second 482 strictly for the food defense inspection. That's what's going to be different.
Okay. So that seems to be quite a bit that need to be prepared for. So who is subject to the IA rule and these inspections?
So this includes any FDA regulated food or beverage. So what does that mean? So if you're following FDA regulated FSMA type foods, you're covered. If you are producing juice HACCP, that includes you, it includes infant formula, it includes low acid canned foods who are exempt from microbiological hazards, it includes them. It includes bottled water. It includes dietary supplements. And it also includes dairy farms. Now, farms traditionally are exempt from all of FSMA, except dairy farms for the food defense rule.
Okay. So is that just because there's more chance of vulnerability being there?
Well, the food defense rule covers processes and steps and procedures. So there's no one type of commodity that is more inherently having a potential to cause harm than any other commodity. It's how the food is produced. The dairy farms, currently how that is going to be conducted, that inspection is still being discussed with the Food Defense Inspection Team. We have not heard how that's going to work and how it's going to be assessed. We're still waiting for an update from the FDA, how they're going to do that. The agency has said that they will present a third informational session on more specifics and how they're enforcing this rule sometime this spring. When they do that, we'll be happy to spread the news.
Okay, great. Yeah, we can come back and do another Tag Talks with you, Chris.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the components of the Food Defense Plan and its implementation, for which there still seems to be a lot of question out there. So, for starters, do facilities have to have a food defense qualified individual, and what is their role?
That's a great question. So, a food defense qualified individual is required to do several different steps within the food defense plan. So, the food defense rule is divided on different types of training for different parts of the rule. And the first part of any food defense plan is you have to have a written vulnerability assessment. So, you need a food defense qualified individual to write your vulnerability assessment. They do not necessarily have to be an employee of the facility, but they do have to be trained or otherwise qualified through either job experience, other education has to be documented. So the FDQI, Food Defense Qualified Individual, would write the vulnerability assessment. If during that they find any significant vulnerabilities or an actionable process step, then the rest of the rule kicks in. You have to have a food defense qualified individual to identify and implement mitigation strategies. And then you have to have a food defense qualified individual to write and make sure it's implemented all the management components. So, food defense monitoring, food defense verification, food defense corrective action, writing the plan as a whole, and reanalysis. So, each of those have a different set of trainings. And you could have one person at your facility trained in all of them. We have many clients who've done that. Or you can have different people trained at different parts of the role and have them come together to put it all together.
So you've mentioned actionable process steps. How are these determined, and are mitigation strategies and control only required where an APS is identified?
Yes. So an actual process step is determined through the vulnerability assessment. And they're what we call a significant vulnerability step in your processes. A mitigation strategy is required for each and every actionable process step that's been identified. And they can be identified through one of three ways under FSMA. You can identify them through what we call a key activity type method, which is the most common of the vulnerability assessments currently within the industry, or you can apply the three element approach, or you can do what we call the hybrid approach, which combines the CAT method with the three element. Any one of those methods, if they identify what we call an actual process step, is required to have a mitigation strategy implemented.
So, to help the industry, FDA did develop a food defense plan builder software. How robust is it? And if I follow that, will it make me completely compliant with the rule?
Will make you completely compliant with writing your food defense plan. It is
Okay.
it completely follows what is required, is fully aligned with the rules, as long as you use version 2.0. There's a version 1.0 that's out there that is not aligned with the rule. We have had clients who've done that and they had to go back and do version 2.0. You still need to be trained to fill out version 2.0. Once the rule is written, great, you're halfway there. Now you have to implement it, meaning you still have to do documentation of your monitoring, your verification, your corrective acts, any corrective actions. So that still has to be implemented. And that's the part of the rule that's going to be enforced this fall. So is your food defense plan being implemented?
So Yeah, talking about those rules or inspections this fall, once FDA begins the comprehensive inspections, how will they determine which facilities to inspect?
Well, that's a great question. So currently, we have, or we've been told that there are only five consumer safety officers who will be
Oh.
performing the food defense inspections. Now, think about how many food facilities there are in the US as well as internationally. So this rule applies to all those foods I mentioned earlier, even if they're made outside of the US, if they're imported in the US. So all foreign facilities also have to have their food defense plan. The agency is, as we speak, coming up with what they call a matrix. And it has
Okay.
many, many different variables. I believe it's 43 different variables. And they're not going to release, as far as we know, what those different variables are. One thing that they have mentioned is if you are a facility and you have a history of a poor food safety record, say you had your food safety plans out of compliance, maybe you've had a recall or two, maybe you've had a warning letter, you will in general be assumed that you most likely will have a poor food defense plan. So you will kind of rise to the top, as they say. But that's just one of several factors that they're considering. And again, we don't know much more about the matrix other than what I've told you. They did say a couple of times that they were not going to release all the different elements of the matrix that they are considering.
So do we know if FDA arrives at the door? If they're going to be doing both a food safety and the food defense inspection, will the facility know that ahead or just when they get there?
They'll know that when they get there, and they'll know it because they'll receive a separate 42 stating that they're there for a food defense inspection. Again, as I said, right now there's only five inspectors. They anticipate over time they'd like to increase that number to 15, but that'll happen over a longer period of time. They're going to arrive, and as I said, they're going to do whatever food commodity processes thing that you do, they will assess that for food safety, and then they'll assess that for food defense. Now, you still may get a food safety inspection only by other consumer safety officer. There's
Right.
only currently, immediately, there's only going to be five that's going to be doing both.
So you won't know till they get there.
Basically, yes.
Okay. So, Chris, when FDA is out inspecting a facility, could that facility get a 483?
Yes, and that's a great question. When the agency is out there with one of those five CSOs or out on your site, you could actually get up to two 483s. You could get one for food safety if you're out of compliance, and you can get one for food defense if you're out of compliance. The agency will work with you as much as possible while they're there on site to help you with any deficiencies you have regarding food defense. If you can correct it on site, that's what they prefer. If not, for whatever reason, you'll receive a 483. A 483s, as we all know, is public knowledge, and the food defense plan is not meant to be shared publicly. So the agency has decided that they will issue the 483, which is public knowledge, and it'll simply state you are not following part 121.126, which is the food defense rule. That's it. Then the facility will receive a separate addendum with all the issues that have been identified. And the facility will respond to that privately. That response and that addendum will not be publicized. Unlike a typical 483, where all your deficiencies or your violations are listed, that becomes public knowledge, and et cetera. Food defense is going to be handled different. If, for whatever reason, it goes beyond that and you receive a warning letter from the agency, the warning letter will simply state the same. You are not filing part 121.126. Then they'll receive a separate attachment directly just to the facility identifying the violations. So it's a little bit differently in how they're going to handle 483s and warning letters. But unfortunately, if you're out of compliance for any of the food safety, programs and food defense, you could get 243s in a single day.
Okay. Thank you for that bit of information. That's always good to know. So it does seem there's really a lot to the rule and being compliant. And September is going to be here before we know it. So what should a facility be doing now to ensure they're prepared for the expanded inspections? And how does tagging?
Well, that's a great question. First of all, if you haven't taken any training to be a food defense qualified individual, or you haven't documented that you've already been qualified through other means, please do that first. Then, at a minimum, start off with your vulnerability assessment. So the vulnerability assessment will tell you, do I have any actual process steps where I have to apply mitigation strategy? And then I have to apply the management components. If you do, then you need to write your food defense plan. After that, you need to start implementing it. So that means doing the documentation of, is it the actual process steps? Are they being monitored? And are you verifying them? It also includes additional training for each worker and their immediate supervisor at each of the actual process steps. And each worker and the immediate supervisor, they have two types of training they must have to undergo. One is food defense awareness. It's pretty simple. It's easy. Basically, if you see something, say something, right? There's training available for that. It's free. It's on the FSPCA website. It's food defense awareness. The second set of training they need is anything that relates to them having to implement the mitigation strategy, such as if an unauthorized person comes in their work area, they would be required to escort them out and tell upper management. They need to be trained on that. The worker and their immediate supervisor at every single actual process step, that has to be documented.
Okay.
So there's a lot to do before September.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Sounds like there's a lot to it, a lot to know, a lot to be trained on. So
TAG can help in many different ways. We can help you with all the various levels of training for the food defense qualified individual. We can help review your food defense plan if you think you're ready. We can help you score your food defense vulnerability assessment. We've had a lot of clients that prefer to have the three-element method done. So we will help them score. The three-element method has one wonderful side benefit to the extra training, and that is typically you end up with less actionable process steps. So if you have less actionable process steps, there's less mitigation strategies, there's less management components, and it's a lot easier to manage overall. Not necessarily, but many times it is. The other method, the key activity type method, very easy to do. Most industries doing that doesn't require a lot of training, but the downside is you typically end up with more actionable process steps. Okay. And TAG can help you weed through all that. What's better for you? What's kind of training you want? If you want to do a mock inspection, say, hey, can you do us a mock food defense inspection? We're happy to do that as well. The only tidbit of information I'd like to give about your food defense plans is typically they're not shared, and the agency is going to do all it can when it comes to inspect. They will not make any copies. They will do their best not to make any copies of anything. They will do their best not to take any pictures of anything. And if you want TAG to review your food defense plan, it really needs to be done in person. It's not really anything that you can do virtually or desktop. So keep that in mind.
Okay, that makes sense because you have to be there to see what the vulnerabilities may be.
Exactly. You need to observe each process step under normal production conditions.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for sharing your insights on the expanded enforcement of the IA rule and the upcoming comprehensive inspections. And I want to thank our listeners, and we hope that this episode of TAG Talks Food Safety will help ensure that you're prepared if FDA does arrive at your door this fall. You also can get more information on this topic on Chris's FSMA Friday video presentation, which is how to ensure ongoing regulatory compliance on our YouTube channel, The Atchison Group. And if you do need any assistance, give us a call. And as always, be sure to subscribe and follow us to stay up to date on the latest trends and evolutions in the food industry. Thanks again, Chris.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, everybody, for listening.